John Murphy Show is on the air.
Fires into the end zone, and it is caught for the touchdown. Sammy Watkins, touchdown Buffalo. Touchdown Sammy Watkins.
It's showtime. It's go time. Let's go, baby.
Dominate on three. 1, 2, 3.
Dominate.
Let's go.
And he's going to be sacked again. He is dropped again.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, the official convenience store of the Buffalo Bills.
Let's think outside the box, Bills fans, for the 2015 Buffalo Bills. Make your bold prediction for the Bills this season. What do you think will happen that no one else sees coming? Coming up tonight after 8 o'clock, we're going to talk with Chris Sims, an analyst for BleacherReport.com. His bold prediction is that the Buffalo Bills will have the number one defense in the NFL. And wide receiver Sammy Watkins joins us in studio at 7:30.
If we're all in it, if we're all in it together, we'll win.
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We don't know, do we? We don't know how the 2015 season is going to play out. We talk about it every night here on the show. We talk about it with you. We talk about it with our guests. We just don't know. And there's no shortage of predictions. This time of year, those predictions will heat up and amplify as we approach training camp a couple of months away. What are we... 2+ months away from the Bills at training camp on July 31st, right? Actually, 1 month. What am I saying? We're about 6 weeks away from the start of training camp. We don't know how the season's going to play out, but we can guess, we can speculate, and tonight is the night for your wildest dreams about the 2015 season. Now, I want to hear your bold predictions for what you think might happen for the Buffalo Bills this year. But be ready to talk about it. Don't just spit it out. Be ready to justify those things that you think might happen. What brought this up? Our guest at 8 o'clock tonight, Chris Sims, going to join us a little bit after 8 o'clock. Former NFL quarterback Chris Sims. His dad is Phil Sims. His brother Matthew Sims plays here. Chris Sims has some bold predictions for the 2015 Buffalo Bills. For instance, he says the Buffalo Bills defense will be the number one defense in the NFL this year. That's fairly bold. They've been up near the top five for a couple of years, but what were they, 8 and then I think 4th this past year. So they've been up there, but Chris Sims says they're going to be a top 5 defense for the Buffalo Bills this year. That's fairly bold, I think. Chris Sims also thinks he says they're going to be the number one defense. Jay Harris, right? I mean, Chris Sims is fairly confident about that.
Yeah, which... on the outside, it's not too much of a bold prediction from us in the inside, looking at what they did last year to this year with a new defensive system. But that in its own, I guess it's bold being number one at anything.
So. Yeah, that's bold this time of the year to say number one defense. What are your bold predictions for the 2015 Buffalo Bills? Give us a call. Let us know what you think. Jay, I'm going to get to you in a second.
Thanks.
803-0550 is the number. Toll free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. You can do it via Twitter at John Murphy Show. In fact, we already have a fairly high profile Twitter follower who issued his bold prediction. It was Thurman Thomas. Thurman Thomas, as soon as we put that out there about a half hour ago, says on Twitter, he said his bold prediction for the Bills, 11-5, 11 wins, 5 losses. All right, that's fairly bold. Give us your thoughts. What's your bold prediction? Where are you going to be hanging out there? And where are you going to make sure you keep a record of it? Because if your bold prediction happens, we encourage you to come on the show and rub it in everybody's face after the end of the season. But give us a call. The lines are open, 803-0550. Outside Buffalo, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Your bold predictions for the Buffalo Bills defense this year. Here are mine. I've got a couple. As the show host, I reserve the right to have more than one. And you can, too, if you phone in. I think they're a top-5 defense. Number one, as Chris Sims says, maybe, but I think they'll be a top-5 defense again this year. That's not that bold. I think, here's where people are going to, some will snicker, some will shrug their shoulders, and some, hopefully some, will say, huh, I wonder. Here's my bold prediction. I think E.J. Manuel will get 16 starts at quarterback. I think he'll complete about 62% of his passes. I think he'll throw 21 touchdowns, 14 interceptions, have a quarterback rating of about 85-ish or so. Why? How can I say that? I'll tell you why I can say that. Because in 14 NFL starts, E.J. Manuel's quarterback rating is about just under 80. It's about 78.5. In 14 NFL starts, he's thrown 16 touchdowns and 12 interceptions, and he's completed 59% of his passes. I'm not looking for a major level of improvement from E.J. Manuel. To say that he'll complete 62% of his passes, well, he's already completed 59% in 14 starts. To say he'd be on the right side of touchdowns and interceptions, I'd say it'd be 2-1. I think they're going to protect him so much that it'll be 21-14 touchdowns and interceptions. That's really good. But his ratio now is 16-12. So he's on the right side of that anyway. And his quarterback rating, as I said, after 16 starts in the NFL is about 78, and I think he'll get it up to about 85. That's a bold prediction, I think. And I know a lot of people will scoff. A lot of people will go, right. But I do. I think that'll happen. I think Sammy Watkins will be a beneficiary of that. And my bold prediction for Sammy, our guest tonight at 7:30, 80 catches, 10 touchdowns. Improvement over last year. He had 65 catches last year and, what, 6 touchdowns. And here's the most important bold prediction of all for me. I think the Bills are looking at 11 or 12 wins this year. 11 or 12. Now, how do you get there? I'll tell you how you get there. AFC East, I think they can go 5-1. Sweep the Jets, sweep the Dolphins. That won't be easy to do. And take one against the Patriots, that's 5. AFC South, I think. Colts opening day, toughest game in the AFC South that they'll have. On opening day here at Ralph Wilson Stadium, I think they can take them. And then go on to beat Tennessee, Houston, and Jacksonville. NFC East, I think they can get 2 of those 4. The Giants game and the Washington game. I'll give you the Cowboys game as a potential loss and the Eagles game as a potential loss. 5 + 4 + 2 = 9. Then you got Cincinnati and Kansas City. I think they can take 5 + 4 = 9 + 2 = 11. Cincinnati or Kansas City, I think they can take one of those two. Cincinnati at home or Kansas City on the road. And there you go. I mean, that's 12 wins. I think they can win 11 or 12. Those are my bold predictions. 11 or 12 wins for the Bills, 80 catches for Sammy Watkins. E.J. Manuel starts them all, completes 62% of his passes, 21 touchdowns, 14 interceptions, good numbers, not spectacular, and a pretty good quarterback rating. Laugh if you will, but it's the night for your bold predictions, your outside-the-box thinking, but make sure you can justify it. If you're going to call up and say the Bills are Super Bowl champions, you got to tell us how it will happen. Jay, we've got some calls teed up, but I want to let you in on this. You're a close observer of the scene here at One Bills Drive. What's your bold prediction or predictions for the Buffalo Bills?
Oh, for the Bills, I was going to say someone was going to find a way to put the burger in the cheese. I think somebody told me before
Hold
the show,
on there a minute, Roby.
Somebody told me before the show that that's already happened. So
it is happened.
All right, well, then I'll move on to Bills talk. I'm saying at least five, if not 6 Pro Bowlers.
Whoa.
Yes.
What do we have last year? 3?
Yes. Now, a majority is going to come from that defensive line again. So, I have Mario Williams returning.
Yep.
Marcel Darius returning.
Okay.
Newcomers, Jerry Hughes, I think will make the Pro Bowl this year. And Stephon Gilmore in the defensive backfield for the Bills will make the Pro Bowl.
That's 4. Are you counting
That's 4.
Kyle?
Now, I'm going to go, offensive side of the ball. The lone offensive star for the Bills will be LeSean McCoy.
Wow.
I think at running back, he's going to lead the AFC. In rushing.
Okay. Wow.
The dark
totally
horse
bold.
For the 6th Pro Bowler will be Kyle Williams making another return. But
good.
5 of the 6, and then Kyle Williams would be the 6th one.
That's a bold prediction there. I like that.
Is that bold?
It's fairly bold. Yeah. Yeah.
Sharp.
Good. Is that it?
Yeah.
That's good. All right. I like that. That's what we're looking for. Don't just spit out a bold prediction, but please, please back it up. Tell us what you think. 803-0550, the number to call. Toll free, 1-888-550-2550. Your bold prediction for the 2015 Buffalo Bills. Steve calling from Medina. Steve, what do you have tonight?
Well, John, I'm with you. I don't know if that makes us both smart or makes us both knuckleheads, but I'm an E.J. Manuel guy, and my reasons for that go back to probably 3 things. First of all, he took us down the field to beat Carolina.
Yep.
As a rookie.
First game.
And there's something to be said for that.
Yep.
And also, if you look at something like the Atlanta loss, where he, again, took us down the field, but unfortunately 2 of our receivers fumbled the ball. And, you know, we'll never know what would have happened if they'd have caught those balls.
Mm-hmm.
And also, my third thing is the Houston Texans game. that pass that he threw that was intercepted by J.J. Watt was, in fact, intercepted by J.J. Watt, who is, you know, the greatest defensive player in this league at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
And if it had been nine out of any 10 other defensive linemen, they either, A, would not have caught it or knocked it down, or B, would not have run it back for a touchdown. And we'll never know how that game would have turned out. And then Coach Marone benched him kind of out of desperation. And in retrospect, Kyle Orton didn't give us anything better overall.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we could have gotten out of EJ.
So your bold prediction about EJ is what, Steve? What's your bold prediction concerning EJ?
11-5.
11-5. All right. We sound similar on that, Steve. Thanks very much. Let's go to Brian calling from his cell phone. Brian, your bold prediction for the 2015 Bills.
Well, John, I kind of agree with you on the 12-4, 11-5 thing, and you pretty much the win thing is a good reason for it. But I'm going to back when you were a young Padawan in the radio network, and your Jedi Master Van Miller was doing this. He said after the first one that it took him 25 years to get there, and my sister said just bluntly out, and it's going to take him another 25 years to win it. I wanted to kill her when she said that. And 25 years later. So I'm thinking I'm going to say 12-4 Super Bowl run, and not only that, ever since we've been here talking about Tyrod Taylor, I keep thinking of those Baltimore Ravens Trent Dilfer year, especially with we're talking about the defense we've got. So I'm going to say possibly maybe EJ Manuel, like the previous caller said, but I think Tyrod Taylor, especially with the running back, Colt McCoy, I think they're going to keep the offense at a decent thing, especially with Sammy Watkins and Robert Woods and their wide receiver core. But I'm going to think it's going to be a little bit better than that. The offense is going to be a lot better than what Dilfer's offense was. I'm going to go 12-4, and my sister's jinx is going to come to fruition, and I still go after her about that very day.
That's great. Your sister's 25-year hex will end this year. All right, thanks. Let's go to Frank in Gettysville. Frank, we're talking to Bills fans and getting their bold predictions for the 2015 season. What do you have?
Yeah, hey, John, I got two predictions. Well, first one is I think Fred Jackson's going to have more yards from scrimmage than Shady.
Really? Tell me how's that going to work out.
He's going to catch some passes, he's going to run some more, and he's going to do what he usually does, kind of, you know, be the best rusher. It's happened the last 4 or 5 years, and I think he's going to do it again.
All right. I'd be shocked if that happened. I'd be shocked if that happened.
Well, that's a bold prediction.
That's bold, yes.
And here's my second prediction. I think that the Bills are going to have the most touchdowns that are not passing touchdowns. What I mean by that is their speed is going to be like the boogeyman of football, meaning they're going to be able to score on the defensive side. They're going to be able to score running the ball and some, kick returns, punt returns, and maybe even some blocked field goals with Alex Carrington.
All right. Thanks. Thanks, Frank. We're getting bold predictions from Bills fans. The reason, Chris Sims, our guest at 10 after 8 today, had some bold predictions that were up on his Bleacher Report website. He said among his bold predictions, he said the Bills will be the number one defense in the National Football League. Thurman Thomas, we asked for fans to tweet in. Thurman Thomas tweeted in 11-5. He believes the Bills will win 11 games this year. You can phone in your predictions at 803-0550. You can go from outside Buffalo toll-free at 1-888-550-2550, or you can do it via Twitter. A couple of tweets. Shady tweets in, EJ steps into the starring role and has a 3,500-yard passing year. Never looks back, our starter for the next 10 years. Pretty optimistic. Daryl Jones tweets, the Bills look good in 2015. I think the linebacker position is the biggest question, not the quarterback. EJ should be okay. Mr. Josh Keach tweets, at least the AFC Championship game. Adam Reeder tweets in, Tyrod Taylor starts and grows into Greg Roman's new Kaepernick. I like it. People are thinking outside the box, just what we were looking for, thinking of different takes on the 2015 Bills season. Here is Dave in Williamsville. Dave, your bold prediction for the 2015 Bills.
Hi, my bold prediction is that the Bills can represent the AFC in the Super Bowl, and I think if you talk about the first couple games of the season, if you could beat Indianapolis the first game, then you have a tiebreaker with them if it comes down to that, because I think they're going to have a great season as well. And then if you can go 5-1, as you said, in the AFC, which I think they can too, and hold your own against the AFC South and get sort of the record that you were discussing, and if you, like I said, you have that tiebreaker with Indy, then the road to the Super Bowl can go through Buffalo. It doesn't have to go through Indy. You know, that's assuming a little bit, you know, but I do think you have a great defense, as I think Mr. Sims is going to say, and I do think the offense is going to pick up what Mr. Roman, what the offensive coordinator is getting at. It's not going to be real fast initially. It's going to take them a couple games, but I think when they do get it, when you talk about the talent that the Bills have offensively, I think it's pretty scary if you're a defensive coordinator. And if they do pick it up and ride with it, then you're talking about a real difficult offense to play against and a great defense that you need to compete with.
Yeah, I see what I can see what you're saying. You're saying that you play such good defense early on, and you let the offense kind of get its footing underneath them, right, before you really start to pick it up?
Exactly.
Yeah, I can see that.
If they can do that, they're going to be like by maybe the third or fourth game of the season or even a little bit beyond, because I think the defense is going to hold you in some games. You know, you could get that 11-5 or 12-4. You know, that's a lot to ask, but I think it's doable. Then, like I said, and you beat Indy. The key is beating Indy in the first game. If you do that and you have a tiebreaker, then the road to the Super Bowl goes through Buffalo. And I think then, you know, hey, well, who knows what's going to happen there? You know, everyone's there. And Buffalo's a pretty tough place to play
in
December and January.
Not to mention September on opening day. Very good points. I was just thinking it's been a long time since anybody's uttered those words. The road to the Super Bowl goes through Buffalo. It's been a long time, and maybe certainly we're premature to say that now. We're getting your bold predictions, and that was very bold. I do think you're absolutely right about the Colts game. The key game is the opener. And as I said, I told Bulldog, I had a long conversation, long interview today with new defense coordinator Dennis Thurman, and we talked about what their approach is going to be in preseason games. And they're not going to show a lot, he said, in preseason games. Not going to show teams what they're going to do. So now you're the Indianapolis Colts getting ready for the opener, or the New England Patriots getting set for week two, and you're thinking, what are we going to get? We're going to get Rex Ryan defense, but what else are we going to get? We've got Rex Ryan-style defense, Rex Ryan/Dennis Thurman defense, with all these new pieces in play, with Marcell Dareus and Kyle Williams and Jerry Hughes and Mario Williams and everybody else, you know, good corners, McKelvin and Gilmore. I think that first game is going to be critical. And if they can get those first two, both home games, Indy and New England, they can win those two. Watch out. This thing, I believe, will take off like a rocket. Asking a lot. I know those are two. I mean, one of them is a Super Bowl champion and one is the AFC runner-up. That's asking a lot. Let's get your bold predictions. John in Williamsville. Hello, John. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, John. My bold prediction is I think you're going to see E.J. Manuel all season.
Really?
I think you saw Rex Ryan go with Geno all last year. And I'm a fan of Manuel. I'm sorry. But all these naysayers that are out there that are saying that, you know, there's some question marks with E.J., I'm sorry. The sample size just is just not large enough for me. And the other thing, I questioned the coaching staff last year. I think when you bring in, you know, the other quarterback that we had last year and – you know, you get a similar result. I just really question Nate Hackett and Doug Marrone, and I'm really optimistic about what Rex and Greg Roman are going to do.
All right.
Especially with what Greg did with Colin Kaepernick. I really don't think the guy was a rocket scientist as a quarterback, and they made it win and made a run at the Super Bowl. So I really think you're going to see EJ, and I think you're going to see him do very well under the new system.
Thanks, John. Here's Tony calling from his cell phone. Tony, your bold prediction for the 2015 Bills.
Yeah, hey there, John. I don't know if this is necessarily the most bold thing, but what I thought after seeing the schedule, and I know a lot of people are saying, oh, they might start out strong, they may have some tough spots against the NFC. I see exactly the opposite. I think when we go into the Chiefs at week 12, we're going to lose the game. It's going to be a little bit of a wake-up call. We're going to be 6-5, and then we are going to be on fire and win those last five games in a row and head right to the playoffs as a high wild card team.
Wow. So finish with 11 wins. So they, after Kansas City, win at home against Houston, go to Philadelphia and Washington, win those, and then home against the Cowboys and Jets. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Plausible, I think. It's plausible. The toughest games there would be obviously at Philly and the Cowboys here, but it's certainly plausible. You know, you got the Cowboys, an indoor type of Southern team coming up here in mid or late December. Yeah, that's plausible. The game at Philadelphia will be a tough one, no question.
My thought is that the NFC is a little bit overrated right now, and our defense is really going to click by the second half of the season, and the offense will, it's going to struggle, I think, a little bit at first to get comfortable, and especially with the, I think it's going to be a much larger playbook than last year. But once we find that rhythm, look out.
All right, Tony, thanks. Jeremy calling from Rochester. Jeremy, your bold predictions for the 2015 Bills. What do you see?
I see with all the weapons we have on offense, Sammy will be single covered far too much. He will lead the league in touchdowns for receivers and yards after the catch. And he will have, he will match his number on his jersey, 14 touchdowns.
That's a lot.
He'll carry us as far as we need to go.
All right. Thanks, Jeremy. Thanks for that bold prediction. Here is Jim calling from Orchard Park. Jim, you got bold predictions for the Bills this season?
I do, but first I got to tell you, you are a class act. You are the best on the radio, I guess. Accolades to you, partner.
All time. Thank you, Jim.
Hey, listen, my prediction is throw out the rule books, throw out the statistics. I'm telling you, every 25 years, the sun and the stars and the moon line up the right way for the Bills to get to the Super Bowl. This is going to be our year, partner.
All right, Jim. Thanks. It takes 25 years. Okay. Let's go to Rob calling from Maryland. Rob, your bold predictions for the 2015 Bills. What do you see?
Hi, Jim. Or John, sorry.
That's okay.
My bold prediction is that we're going to have a top 10 offense, and that's because of a combination of E.J. Manuel, all the wide receivers we've got, and Sean McCoy. But that's not the really, really bold prediction. My really bold prediction is that we're gonna, our defense is actually going to drop down to top 10, not top 5.
Okay, they can live with that. I'm sure they want to be number one, obviously, but top 10's not bad. Why would they drop down? Why would the defense decline a little bit?
I think, I mean, obviously Rex Ryan is a fantastic defensive-minded coach, but I think just with the transition, I think we're going to find that some of it is going to get lost a little bit.
Hmm. All right. Thanks, Rob. Here is Parker in Buffalo. Parker, you got a bold prediction for us.
Yeah. Hey, John. I love you. Listen, I hate to rain on your parade, but would you agree that this coaching staff wants to win this year, right?
Sure they do.
They don't have time for a rookie, which is really what Manuel is. He played 14 games. And rookies, what do? They make mistakes just because of inexperience. I don't think he's got a prayer of starting because they want to go with guys that are not going to be making mistakes.
Now, he's got more experience than Tyrod Taylor, for one. He doesn't have as much as Matt Cassel, so he's not a rookie, 14 starts. No, I disagree with that, Parker, to tell you the truth. I disagree with that. Do they want to win this year? Absolutely they want to win this year. And I think they're going to select the quarterback that gives them the best chance to win this year. So we may be in agreement on that. They have no, they have really very few ties, if any ties, to E.J. Manuel. They have no stake in trying to make E.J. Manuel work. So I think if it's not working with EJ, they would not be hesitant at all to put in Matt Cassel or Tyrod Taylor. I mean, they traded for one and signed the other one to a free agent contract. But and here's my you're not raining on my parade at all. But here's my hope as far as EJ Manuel. I hope that he wins the job, that he earns the job in training camp and in the preseason games. We're going to hear some Rex Ryan sound as the night goes along about when that decision will be made and how that decision will be made and the timetable for the quarterback decision. However it times out, and I think this might be the truest thing that Rex Ryan said about that. He said, when we make the decision, let me find it. I don't want to play the whole thing because it was too long. But he said, when we make the decision on the quarterback, the timing of it, he said, it's going to be obvious. It's going to be obvious to everyone who the quarterback is. And I think he's right about that. I think usually that's the way these things happen. He said nothing's going to happen in the next few days. Nothing's going to happen in the mandatory mini camp next week to settle the quarterback spot. But he did say that it'll be obvious who the quarterback is. It will present itself to everybody. When it happens, you'll know it. I'll know it. Everybody will know it. I think he's right about that. Some good feedback on this. We're going to continue it as we move along through the night. We want your bold predictions for the 2015 Buffalo Bills. Go off the grid a little bit and tell us something crazy that you think the Bills might be able to accomplish this year. Doesn't have to be positive. A lot of what we heard tonight so far have been positive things. You know, 11, 12 wins, Super Bowl predictions, great seasons for Sammy Watkins and Fred Jackson and E.J. Manuel. It doesn't have to be positive. If you have a bold thought in your mind about something not going quite well for the Bills, you can phone that in as well. We'll get back to the calls in a moment, but we are going to be in studio with receiver Sammy Watkins in just a minute. We'll talk to him about his thoughts for the 2015 season and take a quick look back at 2014. Also, we'll talk about his youth football camp, his second annual coming up next month. Just getting started here, the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, live from One Bills Drive tonight on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Gonna fire for Watkins, looking for him down in the end zone. He's got it. Touchdown! Touchdown! Sammy Watkins, the Bills take the lead.
Well, the Bills' OTAs continue. One man not taking part in the OTAs, but certainly taking part and from a mental frame of mind is second-year wide receiver Sammy Watkins, who joins us in our studio right now. Sammy, thanks for coming by here.
Thank you for having me on the show.
A couple of things we want to ask you about, including your second annual youth football camp. Let's start with that. It is the end of July, Monday and Tuesday, July 27, 28. Tell us what you do at that camp. What do you have planned there?
Just give the kids, just giving back in the community. A lot of kids not fortunate to go to camps and things like that. So for me, it's take them out there, teach them the basics of football, and have fun. It's a lot of games going on, a lot of competition. So it's really just to get back and let everybody see me in the community and have a great time.
Two-day camp, July 27, 28, 9 in the morning until 12:30 in the afternoon. And you got a wide range of skill level, grades 1 through 8. So you're starting with some pretty little kids and getting up to some adolescents almost, huh?
Yeah, with the young kids, you want to really have fun and just they're so amazed that you're out there. With the older kids, you're kind of tough on those guys and making them do the basic things and making them do the drills the right way and showing them competition. That's how you make it to the next level and in life, period. So it's really just going out there and teaching them the right way, how to hit, how to tackle, how to run the ball, and the little things, not the big things that matter.
When the kids, the older kids, maybe the eighth graders come to you, do they come to you saying, I want to be a wide receiver? It's kind of a glamour position. It's almost like playing basketball or something.
It'd definitely be way more wideouts than any other position
yeah,
out
bet.
There.
Yeah.
So it's really mind-blowing because you got to go out there and teach them the basics. And I'm so serious about my craft, so I'm trying to teach them everything in a short amount of time. And I'm kind of serious with them. Then with the younger guys, I'm kind of having fun, catching the ball, dropping the ball, chasing them around. And it's really just about giving back.
It's a two-day camp, the two-day Northwestern Mutual Sammy Watkins Football Pro Camp, Monday and Tuesday, July 27th and 28th for grades 1 through 8, boys and girls. Did you get some girls out there last year?
Last time we had a couple, but it wasn't that many.
And registration, more information available at SammyWatkinsCamp.com. One word, SammyWatkinsCamp.com. It's right across the street from us here at the stadium at ECC South Campus. All right, you here now, about to wrap up the organized team activity and move into the mandatory minicamp last year. First of all, tell us about your physical status. You haven't been able to go through all the drills or anything really yet. Have you teamwork anyway?
I haven't been with the team with doing teamwork and yeah. 7-on-7, but been doing the routes, and I think now I'm coming along and I'm learning how to run routes, and I'm doing it the right way, and I'm just really following the guys, our group, and those guys running great routes, and I'm trying to mimic all those guys and catch back up because I missed 3 weeks, and it's great. I'm trying to get mental reps to where I won't be that far behind in training camp, and I'm learning the plays, I'm looking at the defense, and that's where I got to make up at.
I see out there, you'll be in the huddle, and then the guy, you know, the X or the Y will go to the line of scrimmage, and you will be standing, what, 5-10 yards behind him. And what are you doing, taking a picture of the defense when you're standing there?
I really get in the huddle just to hit a verbiage of the of the play call because it's a lot that's being said and a lot of movement going on. So you got to get the play call, first of all. And then I'm running out there just to see where the defense is going to be, how they're moving. And with this defense, it's kind of hard to really read, but you can. They kind of tip away some things, and I just want to get the flow of how fast they move and who's rotating and who's moving around.
How much has the terminology changed for the receivers in this offense compared to last year?
A lot. Now you get a little bit more freedom. You can play ball, you can have fun, and you can do you. Woods is Woods, Sammy is Sammy, Marquise do what he want, Hogue is Hogue. And we do not all look the same now. Everything you do it your way and that, add your little thing to it, but make sure you get to point A to point B and make sure you catch the ball.
So they're not as precise as it comes to the routes that you're running or the steps that you take, or how is it different than what you were doing last year?
It was all steps driven, and it's still steps driven, but now we know you don't have to count steps. If you're going inside, you know it takes 7 steps. If you're going outside, you know it takes 8. And so now we're just running, and we get to our depth and off just running our routes, and that's normal. We've been running routes forever, so you know how it feels to where to break at a comeback. You're not sitting there counting 8 steps, and now it's 10 times easier because you got option routes you can run, and you can do it your way, show your eyes, show your head, move how you want to move, and add your own thing that you've been doing, and it's way easier now.
Your second year, your second position coach, Sanjay Lal, what does he focus on when you work with him?
He's a craft. He's more on craft. He know everybody here got the ability, but he's more on the little details, getting your head around, no false step, using your elbow to push off, not tipping off routes, not leaning. And since he's been here, every wide receiver have improved in route running, your mindset as a wide receiver, and as a better player, because you can run certain routes off certain things, but now we can run any route off press, off cover two, off anything, because you can set it up, and he has helped us with all of that.
I also, Sammy, see you getting extra work on the side with Stephon Gilmore. What are you working with Stephon off to the side?
Really getting off the ball. And with me, I got to still stay quick and move my hands and work my hands, and can't have that behind in training camp because I'm going to be competing. So with him, I feel like he's one of the top cornerbacks in the league. So who else to go against? And he works me pretty well. And it's really good condition. We go down there, do releases, and get right back on the line. So me and him not really training right now. So it's really on conditioning and working out hand placement and competing.
What makes Stephon so tough? His strength, his technique with the hands? What makes him so tough on that press coverage?
He's an athlete. He played a lot of positions. He can play any position on the field. And it's really his ability and his strength. He got long arms. He's not a small cornerback. He's a 6'1" guy. And he's really smart. And he knows the game. And he knows if you're in that split, you only can run this. So it's really, you got to be good with pushing off. You got to be good with leaning on him. You got to be good with not tipping off your route and really attacking him.
It's almost, it seems to me, from the outside looking in, you have to learn how to get free of that press, use your hands, and not get penalized for pushing off, right? I mean, it's like a pretty fine line that you cut it pretty fine, don't you?
You really just got to take what the cornerback give you. You run off his leverage, and a lot of guys get mixed up with trying to win off the line every time. Well, why win on one route if you know you got to come back to the ball? Well, why not lose and let them go over top of you? Then it'd be easy for you to come out. And that's the thing that we have learned with Coach Sanjay about running routes, and you don't have to win on every release. Some releases, let him think he's winning, and you coming back and getting the ball on a short route. So it's all about being smart and learning the little things as a receiver.
You make his press work against him, sort of. Yeah.
Yes, I mean, some guys are aggressive, and I want to be aggressive. The closer it is, the better I can push off of you. And that's what I learned now. It's all about body control and placement.
Sammy, do you have a timetable for when you'll be in there full speed? Are you pointing towards training camp or even sooner than that? What are you thinking?
I'll be back training camp, and I think I'll be ready to compete, and I'll be in the right mind and have the confidence to go out there and go against Stephon and go against all the other cornerbacks. And it's really about getting in shape and making sure I'm healthy.
Sammy Watkins in studio with us, Bills second-year wide receiver. How do you look back at your first year? What do you take from it positively? What do you think went well for you last year?
I'm always a competitor. I competed. No matter what situation, losing, winning, no matter what down, distant play it was, I always stayed up. And I finished the season pretty good. I learned a lot, and that's what I took from it. I got a lot of things to get better at, and that's what I'm doing now. I'm watching my old film, and coach broke it down, told him to break it down from all the way from the first game and tell me what I need to work on, tell me what I did bad, tell me what I did good. And he has helped me, my IQ as a wide receiver and as a player.
Seems like you may have learned how to fight through some kind of nagging. You didn't have serious injuries, but nagging stuff, right? Ribs and then a groin. It's like you had to learn how to keep playing through stuff that was just not going to go away quickly, huh?
Yeah, you're going to have nicks and bruises all through the season, whether it's toe injury, foot injury, ankle injury. Good players play through that. And at this level, I'm not going to stay out if I can play. Now, if I'm injured and where I can't play, then I'm going to sit down. But if I'm hurt, sore here, sore there, I can fight through that.
You caught 65 passes. You were targeted like 125, 128 times. And with the direction this offense is going in, do you think those numbers will be the same? Do you look for more or maybe even less targets, fewer catches this year?
It depends on what game plan we got. A lot of different teams going to play us different. If it's a team that blitzes a lot, maybe we do pass a lot in quick passes and quick throws. But we got a lot of guys now, so I'm not looking to have crazy numbers. All I can do is fit myself in the offense. And the coach is going to give me the ball, as well as everybody know. But we have Percy Harvin, we have Woods, Hogan. Then we have a top tight end and top running back. We can run the ball. It's going to be a lot different, and everybody got to play their role on offense.
Sounds like you're not getting caught up in the numbers in terms of what you'll wind up with at the end of the year.
Not at all. I mean, you got to play the game. And if it's meant for you to get 1,000 yards or 1,500 yards in the season, you'll get it. Now, if it's not, that's not what it was meant for. And all I can do is play the game and do what I can for the team to help them win.
You came out in the draft last year along with several other good, talented wide receivers, and all of you, the top four of you anyway, are compared to each other a lot. You think that'll continue, and do you do some of that, see how Odell Beckham's doing, how this guy's doing, how that guy's doing?
I watch all of them, and we all great wide receivers. And you always try to take some from a great wide receiver. And I watch all those guys. And we all play the same and do different things, but all of a sudden, all of it is mainly the same thing. It's just depending on what team you're playing and what guy you're going against. And I think for Odell, I watch him. He's a great route runner. He's a great guy getting off the ball. I watch Mike Evans. He go up and get the ball. Talented. Kevin Benjamin, he go up and get the ball. And it's a lot of other receivers that do the same thing that we do. And it's just all about getting recognition and playing. And I think for the most part, Odell did separate himself from everybody. He played pretty good at the beginning of the season, and he finished through. But for the most part, we just got to finish and keep going as the whole group and don't get behind ourselves.
Odell got a lot of mileage out of one spectacular Sunday night catch, didn't he? I mean, everybody saw that catch, and everybody thinks of that now from last year.
Of course, that was one of the top catches that year. I mean, yeah. Not too many people can make that catch.
Yeah.
And that everybody look at it and say, I can do it. But when you're out there on the field competing in a live game, it's totally different from practice or from when you out there playing catch with your friend. But doing it live in a game is definitely a big thing.
Last thing, how closely are you following what Rex Ryan said today is the three-way quarterback battle? How closely do you pay attention to that? It directly affects the kind of production, the kind of year you'll have, who winds up winning that job.
I definitely watch those guys close. And everybody's been doing so good so far. And it's really been a battle. I can't say who will start right now because everybody's been showing me good spurts. And, of course, they mess up here and there. But for the most part, everybody's playing pretty good right now. And it's going to be hard on the coaches. I don't know what the decision is going to be. But I look forward to having the best guy on the field.
Sammy, your camp, your youth football camp, I'm looking at the schedule here. It's the Monday and Tuesday right before the Bills go to camp. So you'll be coming back to town, running this camp, and then off to Rochester, huh?
Yeah, I'll be back here a week earlier just to work with the coaches and clean some things up and then have the camp and then training camp.
The two-day Northwestern Mutual Sammy Watkins Football Pro Camp, Monday, Tuesday, July 27th, 28th, half day, 9 a.m. to 12:30 at ECC South Campus right here in Orchard Park. And registration, more information available at SammyWatkinsCamp.com. Sammy, thank you very much for doing this. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Sammy Watkins, Bills receiver in studio with us. John Murphy Show presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Thanks again to Sammy Watkins for joining us in studio. And again, if you're interested in his camp, youth football camp, grades 1 through 8, boys and girls. Cost of the camp, $99. 2 days, Monday, July 27th, Tuesday, July 28th, 9 a.m. to 12:30 at ECC South, right across the street here from Ralph Wilson Stadium. Get more information online at SammyWatkinsCamp.com. SammyWatkinsCamp.com. Thanks to Sammy for joining us. Talking a lot to folks about bold predictions for the upcoming Buffalo Bills season, and we're going to hear more of that. The reason we got onto it, because Chris Sims from BleacherReport.com had some bold predictions. He says the Bills will be the best defense in the AFL. He says Tyrod Taylor will be the Bills starter this year. Chris Sims is going to join us at 10 minutes after 8 o'clock. Some of the tweets on this. Joshua Barrows on the bold predictions. I said I think EJ's starting the season. Go all 16 games. Joshua Barrows tweets in, I hope you're right. Not ready to give up on EJ. Derek Lenz in Lockport. I think McCoy, 1,700 yards. I think EJ will be a Pro Bowl performer. And Watkins, 1,200 yards, 10-6 record. Wow. Nick tweets, Bills in the playoffs is very bold with no proven quarterback but a top 10 or a top defense and an O-line still forming. Playoffs is bold. 10-5 is bold. And then Derek Lentz also tweets, shout out to Jay Harris. You see that one, Jay?
No, I missed it.
He said you were just talking about getting Sims on the show the other day, and already he does. Good work.
Wow, that's my job.
Producer groupies are out there cheering on producer, show producer Jay Harris. That's good. Paul tweets in, here's his prediction, his bold prediction for the Bills. We missed the playoffs because the quarterbacks stink and have for a decade. The fact that the quarterbacks may have stunk for a decade has nothing to do with it, with this year. Oh, man. I love it. Bills fans. Sean Piantowski, 10-6 at best, 7-9 at worst. Strong starts have been good to us, but we got to have a good mid and late season. Gotta. A lot of thoughts on bold predictions. We'll get more of them, including your phone calls on that, when we return for the next hour, an hour to go. So if you're online, stay there. We've got lines open. Also, if you'd like to join us, 803-0550. Outside Buffalo, toll-free at 1-888-550-2550. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And this crowd is on its feet, and it is pandemonium. And that's only the half of it.
Halftime is over. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
Keep spilling your blood for one another. Let's go get it now. Woo! Let's go. Bills on three. 1, 2, 3. Bills.
Safety. 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 Unbelievable.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, the official convenience store of the Buffalo Bills.
Hour two of the show, myself and show producer Jay Harris just spent the last few minutes raving about the NBA Finals. Man, I'm not an NBA guy, but holy mackerel, the first three games have been compelling. Basically, the best two players in basketball just spilling their guts out on the floor each of the last three games. It's been amazing to watch. I can't wait for game four tomorrow night. I was thinking today that when that series comes to an end, it'll probably be at least six, maybe seven games. I don't know who's going to win. When that series comes to an end, it'll be one of those deals where I'm thinking, oh, man, I could keep watching this all summer long. It's just unbelievable, the NBA Finals. All right, we're here for another hour talking NFL football, and we want to engage you in the process. We've got some comments from Rex Ryan coming up this hour, his thoughts on OTAs, where they're at right now with one more day of OTAs coming up tomorrow and then next week's mandatory minicamp. We've got some comments from a couple of players who also spoke with the media today. I had a chance to watch most of today's OTA session outside in the sunshine, windy, gusty conditions. A lot of tweets out there about quarterback play today. I'll be – and maybe I watch more than – I mean, today was the one day this week than the that the media could watch practice, so they're focused on quarterbacks. I have to say, I wasn't really focused on quarterbacks today, nor have I been a lot over the last couple of times I've been out there. And I've been out there, what, 3 days this week, 2 days? We have an OTA Monday? Yeah, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Yeah, right? Yeah, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I don't know. There's other things to watch. I mean, I'm watching Carlos Williams run pretty well, the rookie fifth-round draft pick. That caught my attention. I watched John Miller. I got a lot of attention that I'm focused on Cyrus Quanjo, especially when I see number 94 lined up across from him when they go ones versus ones. Yeah, quarterbacks are a factor. It's the big factor for the Bills, but I didn't really – were there some bad throws today? Yeah, some missed throws. It was a gusty day. I'm thinking 20, 25 miles an hour wind gusts on the outside practice field. We know there's not a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback has established himself yet on this roster. So sit tight. There's a long way to go. And as Rex Ryan said, he is a long way from making that decision. Talking tonight about your bold predictions for the 2015 Buffalo Bills. We're going to talk with Chris Sims from BleacherReport.com in a few minutes. He had some bold predictions. He thinks Tyrod Taylor is going to be the Bills starting quarterback on opening day. He thinks the Buffalo defense is going to be the number one defense in the NFL. So we'll talk with Chris Sims about that a little bit later on this hour. But we want your bold predictions. Think outside the box. What do you think this Bills team, how will they surprise people this year? I had a couple. I think they're a top five defense. Probably not that surprising. I think EJ's your starting quarterback. I think he'll, you know, have a decent year. 20, 21 touchdowns, 14 interceptions, 62% completion rate. Really, those kind of numbers, not that far off what he's done in his first 14 starts in the NFL. And I think they'll win 11 or 12 games, going 5-1 in the AFC East, winning all four from the South, going 2-2 against the NFC Central, and taking either Cincinnati or Kansas City. Add them up. What's that? 12 games, right? 9, 11, 12. Give us your thoughts, your bold predictions for the 2015 Buffalo Bills. 803-0550 is the number. Outside Buffalo, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You can do it via Twitter at John Murphy Show. Jay, your bold prediction was what, five or six
Pro Bowlers. Yep.
Okay, I'm down with that.
Mostly on the defensive side of the ball, obviously. Okay. But I have LeSean McCoy on the offensive side. So
let's see what the callers think. Kyle calling from New Jersey. Kyle, your thoughts on a bold prediction for the Bills this year?
It's not a bold prediction. I actually just called to say, first off, I love the show.
Thank you.
And I'm actually not a Bills fan.
Oh, wow.
I'm actually a Jets fan. My brother is a big-time Bills fan, has been for many, many years.
Why are you listening if you're not really a Bills fan, though?
I have a keen interest on the AFC East in particular. I don't just listen to your show. I listen to Dolphins stuff. I listen to Patriots stuff. Being a Jets fan, obviously I have some kind of affinity for Rex Ryan.
Okay.
So I'm just interested in the Bills in general, and okay. You have a good show, so that's part of the reason why I listen.
Okay.
Now, I have questions specifically. I really did like Rex a lot. He did some great things, obviously the back-to-back AFC championships. You can't hate on that. But if there's one thing that I think Rex Ryan could have improved on, could have been a little bit better with, is turnovers, specifically creating more turnovers. And I was looking at some numbers, and Rich Cimini, Jets beat reporter, you might be familiar with.
Sure, I know Rich.
Yep. You're probably familiar.
Yep.
He tweeted out a tweet last September and was basically saying, why have the Jets missed the playoffs three straight years? He said 100 turnovers, which ranked 32nd in the league, meaning the Jets gave away 100 turnovers. But they had a negative 31 turnover margin, which ranked 32nd in the league, and a negative 131 points off the turnover margin. Now, obviously, the Bills roster is much more solid than specifically on defense and what the Jets had in recent years. And obviously Rex needs cornerbacks to play his style of defense. But my question is, the Bills had 30 turnovers last year under Jim Schwartz. They were creating turnovers and they were playing very well. But even Rex, even the good years that he had, the AFC championship years, he was only getting 12 interceptions in the year we had Revis and Cromartie. So I just, you know, watching all 6 years of, you know, the Jets with Rex, they never really got a lot of turnovers from a schematic standpoint. So I'm wondering, the Bills, with all the talent that they have, which is much more than I would say the Jets ever had on defense, when you look at the totality of it, obviously they have a lot more. But how can the Bills replicate the amount of turnovers they got last year or even exceed that? Because you get rid of Schwartz, they have a great year, and you bring in defensive coach and Rex Ryan, you want it to at least be as good or even possibly better. So just like to hear your thoughts.
All right, thanks. Thanks for calling, Kyle. Yeah, I mean, who knows how those numbers will shake out. I have confidence in this is going to be a pressured defense. And as I mentioned a couple times now, I had a nice long sit-down interview with Dennis Thurman today, the defensive coordinator, well-versed in Rex Ryan's defensive philosophy, has worked with him for years now. And they're all about pressure more than sacks. We talked about sacks and what metrics do you look for defensively. They're mostly about pressures as opposed to sacks. And Dennis Thurman said that we'll get a lot of pressure. Pressures typically equal takeaways, and that's the way it's been for the Bills. I think you know, a lot of what the Bills accomplished in takeaways in recent years, I mean, you had Jarris Byrd, who was a great ball hawk until he departed a year or so ago. I look for Stephon Gilmore to pick up some of that slack with a full season on, coming up this year for Stephon Gilmore. Will they get as many takeaways as they had last year? I don't know. They certainly can cut down on their own turnovers. That's the one thing I didn't get from, you know, the numbers you cited on the Jets, where those was that too many? Was it not as many takeaways or too many turnovers? I couldn't quite get the, you know, because we know that the Jets had offensive problems turning the ball over the last couple of years with, you know, trying to work in Geno Smith. Call here from Eric in Amherst. Eric, you have a bold prediction for the Buffalo Bills. I'm doing well.
Hey, my prediction is that I think Fred Jackson will have close to 1,000 yards his total offense. I feel like under Rex Ryan, the Jets, he always has like a 2-3-headed monster. I just feel that every time in recent years the Bills kind of try to face out Fred, he ended up being like the leading rusher. I think he's going to still rush about 400, 500 yards, so I still think he's going to receive
a lot to it, because the last couple of years he's had a lot of catches for a running back.
Yeah, he had 60. I mean, he had 1,000 yards of offense last year, Fred did, 66 catches and 500 yards on the ground. Where? How do they do that with McCoy here, though?
It those recent years, it feels like you try to, you know, say CJ's the guy and everything, and every year Fred Jackson always comes out, and I think that with offensive coordinator, the way he uses running backs, I think it's going to be a lot of screen passes and dump off plays, especially if we have Tyrod Taylor or EJ at quarterback.
Okay, that'll be interesting. That's bold. I'm not sure it's going to happen that way, but it is a bold prediction if you predict 1,000 total offensive yards for Fred Jackson, especially with Shady McCoy here. Let's go to Rod in California. Rod, do you have a bold prediction for the 2015 Bills? What do you got?
Hey, Murph, how are you today?
Great.
Yeah, I think that with that defense and Rex Ryan being a genius at that position, I don't think anybody's going to score more than 10 points against us all season long. They're going to put the ball back in the offense's hands. That's what's going to be the defining factor this season. EJ, no matter who it is, they're going to keep getting opportunities to score. Defense limiting them to, like, 10 points. That's it.
All right, thanks. You better win. You better win them all if you're going to give up just an average 10 points a game. That's for sure. That is an extremely bold prediction.
And now, the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Subway, eat fresh.
Got the hotline open to a good friend of the show. He is a NFL analyst for Bleacher Report and their Team Stream video concept. Played in the NFL. You can catch him on the NFL on CBS as part of their broadcast teams. Happy to have former NFL quarterback Chris Sims on the line with us. Chris, good evening. Thanks for being on the air with us tonight. We appreciate it.
Anytime, man. Good to be here. Hope you're doing all right.
We're doing okay, and we thank you. You are inspiration for our phone topic tonight. When you did your bold predictions regarding the Buffalo Bills, we played off that and had a number of people calling in tonight making their bold predictions, but you started it. You planted the seed mostly by saying that you think Tyrod Taylor is going to be the starting quarterback for the Bills. Chris, you really believe that, huh?
Well, yeah. There is a part of me that truly does believe that. Yes, and listen, we're all in a guessing game right now early on, and this is what we do, a part of the media, is speculate a little bit.
Yep.
But I do know Tyrod Taylor has talent. I know just from the people I've talked to up there before my brother got up there that he was doing very well in OTAs. And I know he was very well-liked and respected in Baltimore as well. And I just look at Rex Ryan, Greg Roman, the offense that's trying or starting to be formulated up there, I think Tyrod Taylor might fit exactly what Rex Ryan and offensive coordinator Greg Roman are looking for.
Well, I was going to ask you, in order to predict that, not only are you bypassing former first-round draft pick E.J. Manuel and a 10-year veteran in Matt Cassel, you're bypassing your own brother to say that. How did that bold prediction go over in the family?
Well, they don't know about it yet, so that's how it goes over in the family. But, no, my brother does have big-time starting NFL talent. There's no doubt about that. I think that's why the Bills picked him up. But he's been unfortunate, not through his college career. He had two coaches leave him at Tennessee and Louisville. He had to go to a junior college, so he never got to play a substantial amount of time in college to get that experience. We're just hoping he can hang around the NFL a little, keep getting reps. His time will come. When his number was called to the Jets preseason, regular season, he did very well with it. So I am excited for him to be up there. And to answer your question, I think you go with a Tyrod Taylor knowing you have a Matt Cassel who's an experienced quarterback, been around the league, been in different offenses. So he can always be your fail-safe if all else fails. And, you know, to answer E.J. Manuel, you've heard me say it before, and this is nothing personal against EJ because I know he's a great kid and he's a very good athlete. I am just not sold on the fact that he's a good enough thrower of the football to ever really be a starting quarterback in the NFL. I'm going to have to see it to believe it. He's going to have to prove it to me.
Huh. One more thing about your brother, Chris, and we're just getting to know him. He's only been up here a couple of weeks now, but having talked to him a couple of times, both on the show and just through the hallways here, you know what I really like about him? He does not lack confidence. He feels pretty good about himself and what he might be able to bring to a team.
I certainly think that's true, yes. He does not lack confidence. Of course, you know, being from our family, the Sims, we don't lack confidence in general as it is. I don't know if that's a good thing always.
But yes, you know, he works extremely hard. He's been around some bright NFL football minds, really his whole life. And, you know, I don't know how much practice you've gotten to see or whatever else, but my brother has a special arm. He really does. He certainly has one of the stronger arms in the NFL. And anybody that's ever seen him throw before, whether it was ex-Hall of Fame quarterbacks or guys playing right now, the first thing they always say is, wow, I've never seen anybody throw the ball consistently as hard and accurate as your brother. So he does have something special about him. There's no doubt about it.
We're on the line with Chris Sims from BleacherReport.com and their TeamStream video package, and NFL analyst for the NFL on CBS, talking about the Bills. He made a bold prediction that Tyrod Taylor is going to be the starting quarterback for the Bills. Let me bounce back to Tyrod for a second, Chris. I mean, I've gone back and watched some of his games. It's hard to find a lot of extensive playing time for Tyrod Taylor with the Baltimore Ravens. Some mop-up duty for the most part, not a whole lot of that even last year. So what do you know about him that leads you to think he might be the guy here? And what does the NFL know about Tyrod Taylor?
Well, I do think he's a very natural thrower of the football. He always was, even at Virginia Tech. And I know that they thought highly of him in Baltimore as well with his ability to throw. He's a true gym rat. Of course, he's athletic. I think he has the demeanor as well to be an NFL quarterback. You know, even my brother really likes him a lot as well, and just says he handles himself like a real professional. So, listen, yes, have I seen a lot of action from him, at least live action that's not preseason? No, I have not. And you're right, this isn't an assumption at this point.
Yeah.
But I do think he has the tools to do it. And I just look at your team, like I said, I think it makes sense from that standpoint. And at the end of the day, whoever's quarterback with this team, the focus of the offense is going to be running that football, and as well it should be, because, of course, you got the best backfield in football other than the Philadelphia Eagles right up there with you guys in Buffalo.
And one more thing about quarterbacks, and especially as it relates to Greg Roman, from your knowledge, Chris, if Tyrod Taylor is the starter, does that force or compel Greg Roman to kind of remake his offense a little bit and put in components to utilize Taylor's natural running ability? He sat right here in our studio a couple of weeks ago, Tyrod did, and said it's between him and Kaepernick as far as who's the fastest quarterback in the league. You got to use that if Taylor's your guy, right?
Well, without a doubt. And I think, again, that's another correlation I make with my bold statement in saying that he starts, because, yes, Greg Roman came from San Francisco. So I know, I would think, I don't know, but I would think he would want a similar quarterback. And I'm excited to see Greg Roman's offense in general this year, because he's a coach that I know is thought very highly of. I really like him. I question that offense in San Francisco at times. But my big question always was not necessarily with him. It was with Jim Harbaugh, because I had always heard he kind of stuck his nose into the offense. And then, of course, Jim Harbaugh is making $5 million a year. Your expertise is supposed to be the offense. And at times it was not very imaginative, I would say. So I do think Greg Roman is going to show some people, or at least prove them wrong to a degree, to show you that he has more than his offense in his offense than we saw out there in San Francisco.
Chris Sims is our guest from BleacherReport.com, and he made some bold predictions regarding the Buffalo Bills online over the last few days, including one about the Buffalo defense, which you say will be the number one defense in the NFL this year. Number four last year, number one this year. How do you see him getting better, Chris?
Well, hands down, you got the best defensive coordinator in football now as your head coach. So we all know that. That's the first thing. Coaching in the NFL, extremely important. And then, yes, what's the next most important thing? Probably a good front four. And I don't know if there's a front four on the planet right now that's as good as the Buffalo Bills. In fact, we did that video up, and we asked, what should we call this Bills front four? And some people have tweeted us and things and said we should call it the cold front, which I thought was awesome. But the defensive line is certainly special. Your linebackers, Preston Brown, Nigel Bradham, solid, good players. Preston Brown's better than solid. He's really surprised me in his rookie year out of Louisville. And then your secondary. Your secondary, top-notch with Stephon Gilmore, Leaves McKelvin, I know, coming back from injury. And then I also love the Ronald Darby pick out of Florida State. Ronald Darby was one of the best pure cover corners that came out in the draft this year. And I think he fits that Rex Ryan system perfectly, because Rex, as we know, he's going to put some pressure on his corner because he likes to pressure the quarterback, and he's going to bring some exotic blitzes. which leaves the corners vulnerable. So you got to have some cover guys, and you guys got that up there in Buffalo.
Well, it all adds up to a pretty good season, and in fact, your final bold prediction regarding the Bills has them in the playoffs. And I would say that we won't know what to do if the Bills finally make the playoffs after 15 years. We don't know what that's like up here, Chris.
Well, I think between talent and the spark that Rex and the new coaching organization, your new ownership up there, all that, I just think it's starting to all come together for you guys up there. And really, let's be serious. You guys were very close last year. In fact, I announced that game out in Oakland when the Buffalo Bills lost to the Raiders. That was a tough loss. But you win that game, and you got a chance to make the playoffs. And I think the team has improved greatly this offseason, so that's why I say it.
Is this not the optimistic time of the year for virtually everyone, Chris? I mean, I mean, everybody feels pretty good about where they are in the month of June, right?
Yes, without a doubt. Everything's looking good. Everybody's got a chance at the Super Bowl. The majority of players have not been injured a whole lot to this point, so teams are healthy and ready to go. And, of course, all teams and media are feeling good about new additions via free agency or the draft. So, yes, it certainly is a positive time of the year. I even make a conscious effort to err on positive when I talk about teams right now because, listen, we're all trying to play the role of Oracle right now, and we're just talking ball and trying to formulate things in our own minds.
Well, you do it pretty well, Chris. We appreciate you coming on the show with us tonight and look forward to seeing you down the road, maybe at a couple of more Bills games this season.
Yeah, you might see me up there at some point. Thanks, John, for having me.
Thanks a lot. Chris Sims, former NFL quarterback, obviously played quarterback at the University of Texas before he came to the NFL. He is a NFL analyst for BleacherReport.com and their Team Stream site. You caught him last year, I think, on the NFL on CBS. He did. He did the color for the Buffalo Bills game, that head-scratching loss to the Oakland Raiders last December. Our thanks to Chris Sims for joining us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. He set us up for the night with our topic for the night, bold predictions for the 2015 Buffalo Bills. Do you have one? Something that you see coming that maybe no one else does? Give us a call, 803-0550, the number. Outside Buffalo, toll-free at 1-888-550-2550. John calling from Buffalo. John, you got a bold prediction this year for the Bills?
Hey, Mark. Just want to say I'm a big fan of your show, first of all. And I actually played in the jazz band, Community High School, with your son, Jack.
Oh, excellent. What'd you play?
I played the saxophone.
Oh, okay. You guys were good. Mr. Tudini, right? Jim Tudini.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Tudini. Great guy.
Yep.
But, yeah, hey, I'm calling in because I have quite a prediction for the offense here. I'm thinking at the quarterback, we'll have EJ. He'll come together in training camp and got the other two guys, and hopefully he'll limit his mistakes in the season. But I think our first two receivers will be Sammy and Woods, with our third receiver being Marquise Goodwin. And I see Percy Harvin being cut in training camp because Goodwin beats him out.
Really? And Hogan makes the team? So you got Watkins, yeah. Woods, Goodwin, and Hogan? And anybody else? Mm-hmm. Easily, maybe?
Easily, yes.
And no Percy Harvin. That would be a shock.
Nope. He's Percy Harvin.
He's an awfully talented player. I mean, Percy Harvin's got a lot to offer. If he doesn't make the team as a receiver, you might even want to think about keeping him around as a return man.
I know. I think that Goodwin can handle the duties on the return as well.
So. All right. Very interesting. A bold prediction, John. Thanks for calling in. That's what we want to hear. People who've thought about this season, and maybe it is the time of the year where we're you know, straining to get to training camp before, you know, things really begin to get serious. But bold predictions, outside the box, stuff that you think could happen for the 2015 Buffalo Bills. That's what we're looking for from you tonight. Phone lines open at 803-0550. Outside Buffalo, toll-free at 1-888-550-2550. We'll break here. We'll get back to more phone calls, so ring us up. We've got lines open for you. We'll kind of recap what went on at the OTAs here today with the media looking on and talk a little bit more about this. Your bold predictions for the upcoming Bills season when we return. John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Going to get more of your phone calls on the air in a moment. On the hockey thing, Jay Harris, producer, show producer Jay Harris, about Ben Bishop, an undisclosed injury. A friend of mine who does not work in the NHL, in fact, he works in the NFL, raises this point. I think he's right. In what other sport, when a major championship is being decided, would you be able not to disclose what a key injury was. For instance, if a quarterback, a starting quarterback, was not going to play in a Super Bowl game, would you think? Don't you think they'd they have to tell you what's wrong with them? You know, in if a starting pitcher was unable to go in a World Series game, they'd have to say what his problem was. I don't understand it. I don't get that about hockey. You know, I get the
lower or upper.
That's ridiculous too. Just say what it is. I mean, it leads to speculation, including what Saturday night when people were talking about. You know, Bishop was on and off the ice. He had some sort of
illness,
you know, intestinal disorder, for lack of a better term, right? He had a upset stomach. I mean, people speculate and think stupid things when you don't level with them. I don't like that about hockey. There, I've said it.
And in this case, we don't know what happened. Normally, if somebody is out, suffers an injury, you see that throughout the game, or you can speculate and go back to a play. I mean, you just can't tell in this instance. So
it's crazy. It's stupid.
It is interesting, but
you can't get away with that in any other major sport. This is interesting, too. I heard Chope on the Bulldog talk about this. The Indianapolis Colts have a open, I guess, a public, I don't know if it is public, but the media at least is in Lucas Oil Stadium tonight, today, for a minicamp session. They have a new banner up in Lucas Oil Stadium. You remember the Colts lost in the AFC Championship game 45-7 to the Patriots because of those underinflated footballs last January. The Colts have hung a banner in Lucas Oil Stadium, 2014 AFC finalist. Right next to their 2013 AFC South champions banner. Now, I don't know. That's kind of crazy, too. You're a finalist, meaning you lost. You lost 45-7. You lost by 38 points. Let's hang a banner for that. I know that outside here at One Bills Drive, is it still? I don't think it is on the scoreboard, but they had the Super Bowl logos from the four consecutive Super Bowls, but you were AFC champions each of those 4 years. This is doesn't make any sense. You're a finalist?
Now, where do you think that comes from?
I think it's a bad idea. What do you mean? Yeah. Where does it come from? I think it's a bad idea. It's great. They went far. They went deep in the playoffs.
Outspoken. Yeah.
They went a game away from the playoffs, but they didn't really distinguish themselves.
Right.
All right.
Don't make T-shirts for finalists.
No. Super Bowl losers, AFC Championship losers. We're talking about bold predictions for the 2015 Buffalo Bills. I do want to talk a little bit about what went on out here today, but people have been waiting patiently on the phone. Your bold prediction for the 2015 Bills. Jim calling from Tonawanda. What do you think, Jim? Give us something bold.
Hey, how you doing, John? Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you.
I've listened to you ever since that you've been with Van Miller. I love the fact that you're the voice representing the Buffalo Bills and all the fans here in Western New York.
Well, thank you, Jim. By the way, I just I had a nice visit with Van over the last weekend. I thought people should know that. We had a good talk about the Bills, obviously, and about the Belmont Stakes, and had a good visit with Van this past Saturday.
Good, good. I hope he's doing well.
He's doing okay.
Good. My bold prediction for this season, I know it seems to be trending, at least I'm going to say for the past 45 years because my bold prediction here, but definitely for the past 30. Going back to the 85 Bears, I'm going to be naming defenses, great defenses that have been so great that they don't need a quarterback because they're so good in every other facet of the game. They don't need a quarterback to win the Super Bowl. We go the 85 Bears.
Okay, with McMahon.
Baltimore Ravens.
Yep.
2015 Buffalo Bills.
Well, maybe. It doesn't happen often, right? I mean, you have to acknowledge that.
It doesn't happen often, but every once in a while you get that team to where they're just so dominant on defense and every other facet of the game, the tools on offense, the weapons, and special teams. I mean, the way I'm looking at it, we got a top three defense, at least, top three coaching staff, top three offensive talent. I mean, I know that we're struggling at the quarterback position, but, I mean, I don't think that Jim McMahon was any big prize or
Dilfer with Ravens, obviously.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And there's my bold prediction for the for our season. And, hey, let's go Bills.
All right, that's pretty bold. Thanks, Jim. Here is Guy calling from New Jersey. Guy, your thoughts on the 2015 season and a bold prediction, please.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
John, actually, my brother called in earlier, and I couldn't help but to call in to answer his question. He was a Jets fan.
Okay.
And actually, my name is Gary, by the way.
Okay, sorry, Gary.
You know, here and there. Anyway, he was kind of telling Bills fans, hey, don't be disappointed if the defense drops off from last year. That's what he was trying to get at,
yeah.
I believe. Now, keep in mind, I haven't contacted him yet. He was referencing that Jim Schwartz had 30-some-odd turnovers with the Bills last year. And while Rex Ryan only averaged 12 his tenure with the Jets per season. But my response to my brother is a lot has to do with that personnel. The Jets never had any edge rushers like the Bills do. They didn't have a Jerry Hughes or a Mario Williams, and even their interior linemen, they just got Muhammad Wilkerson, Shelton Richardson the last couple years.
Yeah, Damon Harrison. Yeah, they're good. The Jets' D-line is good. I think this D-line is better.
Absolutely, and I agree with you 100%. But a lot of our turnovers are pressure-based. And I would tell my brother, if he was here face-to-face with me, reference Mike Pettine's defense, because the Bills had the high 20s in takeaways and turnovers. And I would say that's probably a better reference for him.
All right. Thanks, Gary. Happy to bounce that back and forth between the brothers. Clinton calling from Buffalo. Clinton, a bold prediction for the 2015 Bills. What do you have?
Hey, how you doing? My bold prediction is EJ Manuel might get cut, man.
Really, yeah?
It seemed like Tyrod Taylor is still in the spotlight from Castle and EJ. So I just want your thoughts on it.
Well, he could, Clinton. I think it was 2 weeks ago, there was a story that EJ Manuel could get cut. He could. There was about 25 other names you'd put on that list, too, if they don't play well, if they don't compete. Yeah, he could. He could also be the starter. If we're doing predictions, bold predictions as we are tonight, you heard mine maybe. My bold prediction is that not that EJ will get cut. My bold prediction is that EJ will start all 16 games and have a pretty good year. But could he get cut? Sure he could. John calling from Rochester. Welcome, John. You're on the air.
Hey, John. Yeah, my bold prediction is this. I see a parallel between Terry Bradshaw and EJ Manuel. If you remember, Terry Bradshaw was the number one pick in the NFL draft. And EJ, of course, was the number one pick by the Bills. Now, Terry Bradshaw, I think in his second year, he was actually third string at one point when Terry Hanratty and Jefferson Joe Gilliam were ahead of him in the pecking order because he was playing so poorly. And look what happened. He turned his career around, became a Hall of Famer. I'm predicting EJ Manuel does the same thing.
All right, that's a bold prediction. That's a, you know, not only did Bradshaw turn his career around, he made it to the Hall of Fame, won all those Super Bowls on the back, really, of a great Pittsburgh defense and a great coaching staff, a great head coach in Chuck Knoll. That's a bold prediction. I wouldn't go that far with EJ. To be honest, I'd like to see him become the starter. I'd like to see him have a good mini camp next week and a good training camp and be the starter. You've got him in Bradshaw territory. Okay. As far as OTAs, one more session coming up tomorrow for the Buffalo Bills, their 10th and final OTA, and then they are back here next Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday for the 3-day mandatory mini camp. Rex Ryan spoke with the media today and just kind of gave an update on the OTAs as they wind down.
Right now it's, you know, how can you, you know, does this factor into how your team's going to be and all that until the pads come on? Because some guys can be a star of an OTA or in shorts and then all of a sudden they don't exist, you know, when the pads come on. But for here, I'm confident in this football team. I mean, I feel good about it, where we are. I think, you know, you're putting in two brand new systems on, you know, offense and defense. And, you know, although there's been some rough spots, there's, you know, it seems like we're on pace to be able to head into training camp and just, you know, where it's all repetitive and you know, we're just moving forward. So I'm excited about that. And then I think, you know, obviously I've been happy with the conditioning of our players, you know, seem to be in pretty good shape. And that's important, too, when you get through, you got one more mini camp to go, mandatory camp. And then after that, they're on their own. So, you know, I think we got a pretty good start conditioning-wise as well.
Correct. Are there guys who, you know, you've been at this for a couple of weeks. Are there guys who've shown you something? I know you don't have pads. You're not doing a lot of stuff. But guys who maybe thought, I didn't know that guy was that. I didn't know he could do this.
Yeah, I think Powell's the one that jumps out to me on defense. He had, like, I think 4 interceptions, you know, through these camps. And you can ignore it if you want, but he makes plays. And he's smart. You know, I know the history. I guess he was a former quarterback and then, you know, bounced around outside linebacker, defensive end, all this type of stuff. But he seems to have found a home at inside linebacker, and I've been really happy with him.
Isn't that interesting? That was my question for Rex, and that was his answer. Ty Powell's name is constantly being brought up by the coaching staff as a surprise, as a guy they didn't know a whole lot about when they got here, and a guy who's had a really good spring. It doesn't mean anything in spring, obviously, but he's a guy to watch, I think, moving forward into next week's mini camp and into the training camp at the end of July. Ty Powell, linebacker, special teamer last year, arrived here in the 2013 season. I believe a waiver claim, right? Came in, claimed off waivers, who's made himself into a guy that has the attention of the coaches. You heard Rex say it. What did he say? He's got 4 interceptions during the last couple of weeks here at training camp. He said you can't ignore it. He makes plays. Very, very interesting. Ty Powell, his name constantly being brought up by the coaching staff and some of the scouts as a guy who has surprised them and impressed them with the way he has played. Where does he play? If he's going to get more playing time, I don't know. Where does he go? is he going to knock Preston Brown off the field, take his reps? Unlikely, I would think, but you never know. Nigel Bradham, I mean, where would he get his reps from? Chris Williams is a name that has come up on the show a couple of times, and John Worrell from the Associated Press had an update on Chris Williams' status, the offensive lineman. The Bills signed him as a free agent in March of 2014, started the first 3 games last year, then went out and had surgery in October on his back. Well, John Worrell talked with Bills GM Doug Whaley about Chris Williams. He said, and Williams hasn't been around, by the way. Rex Ryan has said he's not yet spoken with Chris Williams. He hasn't said why he hasn't been here. According to Doug Whaley, speaking with the AP, Williams is still recovering from back surgery. It is uncertain whether he'll be cleared for the start of training camp next week. Doug Whaley told the AP that he'll be evaluated by Bills trainers. He says he is scheduled to report. Chris Williams scheduled to report for the mandatory 3-day mini camp next week. He'll be evaluated. The medical staff has been keeping an eye on his progress, but Whaley had no expectation of when he could begin practicing. The quote from Doug Whaley to the AP, backs are tricky. And he notes this is not the first time that Chris Williams has had back surgery. They've kind of moved on without him, at least this spring. When you look at what's going on up front with John Miller at the right guard spot, Richie Incognito at the left guard spot. This week, during most of the ATAs, they've had, they didn't have Chantrell Henderson in the camp this week, but Chris Gregg is back there working at the left tackle spot. And Cyrus Quanjo getting a lot of reps at the right tackle spot. Today, Percy Harvin, Aaron Williams still banged up. Leotis McKelvin, Chantrell Henderson among 8 players not on the field for the voluntary OTA practice today. One more OTA coming up tomorrow here at One Bills Drive. All right, we'll be take a break, come back. We do have time for more phone calls if you'd like to make some bold predictions about the 2015 Bills, and we'll recap what we've talked about so far tonight. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, live tonight from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Talking to a lot of fans tonight, a lot of calls on this topic tonight, your bold predictions for the 2015 Buffalo Bills. Edric from New Jersey. Edric, what's your bold prediction? Hello, Edric. Yeah, how are you?
Hello, good, John, good. First, man, I've loved the show the last couple of nights. I haven't been able to call in. My bold predictions for this year, John, I think this team offensively, we're going to be probably a top 10 scoring offense. Maybe not yard-wise, but I think we're going to be able to put that ball in the end zone, and I think that's critical to our success this year, especially with how great our defense is, and hopefully we ride to 11-5. Is what I'm thinking. And, John, if I could, on Monday you asked the underrated players.
Yeah.
And no one brought up who I think is going to be big this year, and it's Manny Lawson.
Yeah.
I thought Manny was great 2 years ago under Mike Pettine. I thought he was the first 10 games. He was phenomenal.
Yeah.
From what I saw. And I'm glad that Rex actually gave him a shout-out today because I think he deserves it. Manny's one of those guys who's a veteran, doesn't miss games, and he plays very well. Definitely an upgrade from what from what Rex had in New York in Calvin Pace. This is basically the same position probably, and I think Manny Lawson's an overall better athlete.
I think you're right, Edric. Very good point about Manny. Our man Chris Brown has a very good feature story, a written story up on the website about Manny Lawson. Check it out. It's at BuffaloBills.com. I'm watching as I said, I don't lock on the quarterbacks every day, but I did watch Manny Lawson today, watched him drop into coverage today, and the thought struck me, Manny Lawson is not the biggest football player I've ever seen. but he might be the longest in terms of wingspan and long legs and long arms. And when he gets into coverage with that wingspan, it's hard to throw a pass in his zone. I think he has a lot to offer. The amazing thing about Manny Lawson might not be that he is here this year, but that he lasted through last year, a testament to his versatility and to his smarts that Rex Ryan talked a lot about today.
And now, what have we learned from tonight's show?
Well, we learned a lot from the fans about their thoughts on a lot of people talking about big things. We learned our listeners, our callers, are extremely optimistic about the upcoming season when we encourage them to think outside the box and make some bold predictions. We learned from Sammy Watkins a little bit about his thoughts on last season and how much he likes working with Bills' new receivers coach, Sanjay Lal, this year.
I'm always a competitor. I competed no matter what situation, losing, winning, no matter what down distance play it was, I always stayed up. And I finished the season pretty good. I learned a lot, and that's what I took from it. I got a lot of things to get better at, and that's what I'm doing now. I'm watching my old film, and coach broke it down, told him to break it down from all the way from the first game and tell me what I need to work on, tell me what I did bad, tell me what I did good. And he has helped me, my IQ as a wide receiver and as a player.
And from Chris Sims of Bleacher Report, we learned that Tyrod Taylor could be the Bills' starting quarterback. He thinks he will be, and he thinks that Bills' new offensive coordinator, Greg Roman, will tailor the offense around him, just as he did for Colin Kaepernick.
Greg Roman came from San Francisco, so I know, I would think, I don't know, but I would think he would want a similar quarterback. And I'm excited to see Greg Roman's offense in general this year, because he's a coach that I know is thought very highly of. I really like him. I question that offense in San Francisco at times, but my big question always was not necessarily with him, it was with Jim Harbaugh, because I had always heard he kind of stuck his nose into the offense, and then of course, Jim Harbaugh is making $5 million a year, your expertise is supposed to be the offense, and at times it was not very imaginative, I would say. So I do think Greg Roman is going to show some people, or at least prove them wrong to a degree, to show you that he has more than in his offense than we saw out there in San Francisco.
Chris Sims, we thank him for joining us on the show tonight. He's the guy who really gave us the idea for bold predictions. We'll have more ideas on the show tomorrow night. Also, tomorrow night on the show, we're going to talk with Greg Gabriel, our buddy from National Football Post, I should say. He's got a complete rundown of the Bills roster, and defense coordinator Dennis Thurman joins us tomorrow night on the show as well. Make sure you join us tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. That's going to do it for us tonight. Want to thank our presenting sponsor, NOCO, family-owned, locally operated since 1933. Like NOCO on Facebook.com/NOCO for great deals, specials, and more. Mike Jafari is our engineer, our producer, Jay Harris, the Bills director of broadcasting, Jeff Matthews. We're back tomorrow at 7. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.